Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Welcome to the program. Today, we'll listen to the drama series On Stage. It starred the married couple, Elliot and Kathy Lewis, and the show aired from 1953 and ran until 1954. Titled Fascination, this episode was first broadcast on September 23, 1954.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Kathy Lewis, Elliot Lewis, two of the most distinguished names in radio, appearing each week in their own theater, starring in a repertory of transcribed stories of their own and your choosing. Radio's foremost players in radio's foremost play. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Lewis.
Good evening. May I present my wife, Kathy?
Good evening.
Fascination is defined as being a spell. And yet, if you were to cast a spell over someone, it could be defined, but it would be very difficult to explain how you did it.
A word can be defined, but it's next to impossible to explain motives. The author's job is to make it clear to an audience why people behave as they do.
A common example, the mystery play, where you're asked to accept the villain's reasons for committing a murder.
Simple example, the author's relatively easy problem in dramatizing a mother's love for her child.
A medium example, as stated here some months ago, the reasons why a man must climb a mountain.
Tonight's problem, why a woman loves a man.
Which brings us back to the word fascination. It's the title of tonight's play. It was written by Richard Chandler, and in it he will dramatically discuss a good woman and a bad man and what happened to them. Since Dick has chosen to set his story in the Old West, we begin with Fred Steiner, who has written an overture especially to set a mood of time and place.
Come on, Charlie, be reasonable.
I'm reasonable. $85 is cheap for that horse.
I can buy just the same animal for $60 anywhere in town.
Then you go do it, Mr. Heck.
Now, look, Charlie, you know and I know...
Excuse me, would you let me pass, please?
Excuse us, ma'am. If it ain't Miss Ann Grace. Look who we got here, Charlie.
Why, howdy, Miss Grace. Looked like you all packed up to go somewhere.
Didn't you know, Charlie? Miss Grace is leaving town by order of the court. Don't you read the paper?
Guess I plumb missed it.
All over the front page, wasn't it, Miss Grace?
Will you please get out of my way?
Tell the court about the man who robbed the mercantile company where they caught her that night. Or get out of town. Judge was mighty lenient, wasn't he, ma'am?
I hear some say too lenient.
Get out of my way.
Stage will be along right soon now. Don't forget you gotta say goodbye to the sheriff.
Sheriff Meade.
Morning, Miss Grace.
Court's instructions were that I report to you on this date, and you are to see that I am put out of town.
Yes, ma'am. Stage ain't due for a few minutes. Won't you sit down?
I'll stand, if that's all right.
No need to be so formal, ma'am. Sit down. I was hoping we wouldn't have to go through with this business, ma'am. That you'd be in to talk with me before today.
I had nothing to say when I was caught because there wasn't anything to say, Mr. Meade. There still isn't.
Now look, Miss Grace, you're a nice person. Always been respectable. You ain't the kind who deliberately helps someone bust into a place and steal $4,000.
I don't want to go over it, Sheriff.
But it just don't make sense, ma'am. You've had all the humiliation the town could heap on you in the last couple of weeks. Maybe that's worse punishment for a woman than being locked up. Is it sense to lose your reputation, get run out of town for a skunk who run off and let you face it all by yourself?
I've said all I have to say.
If you figured he'd come back and try and send you a message, we've been watching for that, too. He hasn't, ma'am, and he won't. You know that by now, don't
you? Please stop. I'm taking my punishment.
All right. Stage is in. You ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready.
I'll take your bag.
Thank you. I can carry it.
Here she comes. Hey, Sheriff. Who's the lady you got there?
Goodbye, Miss Grace. I expect you'll be going a long way from here.
Yes. Goodbye, Sheriff.
Sagamon.
Do you see her, Frank? Is she on there?
Stop the bus now. I'm going to let him get the door open.
I don't see... Oh, there she is. Now, for heaven's sake, be nice to her. Frank, please. Anne, here we are.
Oh, Anne.
Hello.
Darling, it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. Frank, how are you?
Hello, Anne.
I must look aside.
Oh, you look just
fine, doesn't she, Frank?
I'll go get your bag. You take her on the buggy, Alma.
The buggy's over this way. Oh, I'm grateful to you and Frank for letting me come to you, Alma.
Nonsense. What are sisters for? When you wrote about everything, I would have gone to you, but... Well, Frank...
He wouldn't let you. He's right. I'm glad you weren't there. It wasn't pretty, Alma.
You're with us now, Anne. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm all right. Alma, has anyone come to you asking about... or a letter?
No. Are you expecting someone?
No. Not really. It was a silly question.
What is it?
Nothing. Just being here. I feel like I never want to go outside again.
Anne, what you wrote, this man, and caught robbing a place.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, Anne. How?
I was in love with him. We're going to be married. Makes me even a bigger fool, doesn't it?
I don't know. I just don't understand.
We met 3 months ago, Alma, just after he came to town. I'd never known anyone like him before. Everything was just wonderful. We were to be married and then come this way on our honeymoon. One night we were walking. He said he had some business with a man at the mercantile company. It was late. He said the man wanted it that way and had given him a key. It all seemed so reasonable. I didn't know what he was going to do until after we got in. He said he was doing it for us, that marriage was no good without money, lots of it. And then there was noise out front, and they came in after us. He left me.
Anna, I wish there was something I could say.
I got plenty to say.
Frank, how long have you been...
You always been too blamed independent for your own good, Anne. Living off in that town by yourself. Could have come to us a long time ago.
Please, Frank, can't you see she's all worn out?
I told you I was going to tell her, and I'm going to get it said. Nobody in Sagamon can say nothing again, Alma, on me, Anne. You're under my roof. You got a chance to start clean, act proper.
Oh, for goodness sake, Frank. Hasn't she been through enough?
Well, I hope she's learned something. You got to prove it, that's all.
All right. It's getting on time for supper. Go fetch some wood for the stove. Sorry, Anne. He didn't mean it to sound just that way.
He always said someone should take a strap to me. I need something, Elm.
It's all over now. No one knows anything about it here. Got to start to forget it.
It's just... I'm such a fool. After all that's happened, I should hate him. I should never want to see him again, but he's still in my mind.
And you still feel love for him?
I want to get over it. I know I've got to.
And then that's a beginning. And the worst thing you can do is just sit. You've got to get out and work at something, just like you've always done. He's so busy you won't have time to think. Will you do it?
Yes, I'll try.
Fine. You rest up a few days and then we'll go in town. The hotel's busier than all get out. Fred Colby hasn't got half the help he needs. Everything's going to be fine, Anne. I just know it.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but I got to keep a pretty close eye on the desk.
That's all right, Mr. Colby.
Everyone's been telling you need more help, Fred.
Yes, ma'am, I don't deny that. Hardly got time to catch my breath. You said you knew something about keeping books, Miss Grace?
Enough to get by, I think.
Well, that's just fine. It's usual for a woman to know something like that. Where'd you learn?
She's just clever, Fred. I told you.
I guess so. Well, if you know books, won't be much to the desk work, Miss Grace. I can teach you that in no time. Be a real favor if you want to work.
Thank you, Mr. Colby. You're doing me a favor.
You could stay right here, save you the trouble of going in and out to your sister's place if you want.
Sounds like the sensible thing. You do it, Anne.
All right.
When could you start, Miss Grace?
Anytime you say. Now, if you like.
Good.
$78.
$63.
Figure out, right? Oh, Mr. Colby. I'm just adding up the cash I've taken in today. Something you want me to do?
Just leave off work. It's after 6.
I just have to enter this in the ledger.
You know, you've been here a week now. People are beginning to talk about you. It's not good.
Talk about me?
They say I work you too hard. From now on, you stop on time.
Oh, it's just that I like the work. I'll enter this total in the ledger.
And that's all. No straightening things up.
Just the total.
Yes, sir. It's a real nice girl.
I agree with you.
Huh?
I said I agree with you. She looks like a very nice girl.
Oh, excuse me. Didn't see you come in. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I'd like a room. And a bath. If you've got one.
Yes, sir. We got one. You come in on the stage?
Just in.
Was that east or westbound?
Does it matter?
I'm glad to have you. Room's $10 and bath's $2 extra apiece. That's in advance. $100. Well, I'll have to go back to the office to change it. Excuse me?
Just credit it. I'll be here for a while. Where do I find my room?
205. Here's your key. It's upstairs on the right. That's at the end of the hall.
Thanks.
If there's anything you want...
I'll let you know.
$100.
Ledger's closed for the night, Mr. Colby. Is there anything else?
Nope. Except it's about time we start using first names, don't you think?
All right, Fred. Good night.
Won't be much to do on Sunday if... If you'd like to, maybe we could go for a ride.
Ask me on Sunday. Good night.
Good night, Ann. Ann.
Hey.
Hello, Ann. I couldn't come to you any sooner. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
You are listening to Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Tonight's play, Fascination. Yes, in many communities today, by letting schools get out of date, by not keeping our classrooms up with the expanding need, we've let Frankie's and Johnny's down by the thousands. And better schools don't build themselves. So let's all join hands and minds with those in our communities seeking to improve our schools. Get in the civic fight to give our young the education they deserve.
How did you find me? How did you know I was here?
Let's get out of the hall first.
No, Clay,
You're through downstairs, aren't you? I heard you say goodnight. We've got to talk, Ann.
No, Clay, I don't want to talk. Let go.
Now, will you listen to me?
Did you know I was here?
Sagamon, you told me your sister lived here. It's a natural place for you to come.
You didn't forget that, did you?
Ann, I didn't want to leave you there that night. It was bad luck. I couldn't do anything else.
Bad luck? That's what you call it? Just bad luck?
I know what happened to you, Ann. You think I feel good about it? You think I left you in that trouble on purpose?
Didn't you?
All right. You believe that, why didn't you tell him about me?
Because
there wasn't any choice, Ann. I love you. I would have given anything to let you know where I was, but that's just what they were looking for. You knew it, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm the one they wanted. When they couldn't get at me through you, they let you go. That's why we're back together today, instead of 5 years from now.
I don't know what to believe.
Believe what you feel. Believe your eyes. Would I be here now if I didn't love you?
I don't know. This moment, I'm not sure what kind of person you are.
I took that money for us, Ann. That was the only reason. I wanted us to start off big, get going good so we wouldn't have to worry. I was wrong. It was the first time and the last time, Ann. I promise you.
I've got to think, Clay.
Please, Ann.
No. Don't kiss me. Awful lot's happened, Clay. You've got to let me think it out.
All right. Any rules you say.
I don't want to see you for a while. I want you to leave me completely alone. We don't even know each other.
Agreed. When will you see me?
I won't have any time. Until Sunday.
Sunday, then.
Don't be too sure of it. Good night, Clay.
I saw some pretty country just outside town. Hire a rig for the afternoon and ride out east. I'll meet you.
Good night, Clay.
Sunday. I'll meet you Sunday.
Anne?
What? Oh, yes, Fred.
Thought you might be in the office. Got your nose in those books again?
No, I just wanted to be alone for a little while.
Oh, I didn't mean to butt in.
Don't be silly. What is it?
Well, it ain't any of my business, but you seem like you got a good deal on your mind the last couple of days. Brow all wrinkled up, gazing off into space. Is it trouble?
No. No, nothing like that.
If there's any way I can help.
Thank you, Fred. It's just something I have to get straight for myself.
Well, anyways, it's Sunday. You ready to go?
What?
For a ride. You told me to ask you again on Sunday.
Oh. Oh, Fred, I promised Alma I'd go out there this afternoon.
Can't I ride you out?
I'm sorry, Fred. I've already rented a buggy. You forgive me.
Sure. This isn't the only Sunday. And there's a dance coming up this week. Maybe we could go to that, huh?
Maybe. I'll know after today.
choose a good spot?
Yes, it's beautiful. Just the place I thought you'd pick.
I've been looking around while I waited. It's good land.
You were very sure I'd come, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
Why didn't you go on when you left me? Why did you come looking for me? I could have forgotten you. I know I could.
I love you, Lynn. If it took 10 years, I would have found you. I'll tell you something. I want money for us. I've seen what it can do, and I know what it's like without it. I wanted everything to be right. I was just wanting it too fast. That's the other person in me, Anne. He loved you enough to do anything.
Oh, Clay. I love you. I can't help it. Promise me that other person's gone.
He's gone, Anne. I promise you.
It's getting late. I have to be starting back.
You know, this place reminds me of when I was a kid.
Is that why you wanted to meet here?
Might have been. We had a lot of land like this.
What were you like as a boy?
Scrawny. We had a drought for 2 years, no money, so they kicked us off the place. After that, the family just fell apart. I think I was 14. That's what I mean about not having money.
I'm sorry, Clay.
No reason to be. That's why I like cities. You can build things that won't fall apart. You'll help me, Anne, and we'll do it right.
We'll do it right.
I want to leave here as soon as we can. I think sometime this week.
This week?
Sure. We can't get married here. We're not supposed to know each other. I've only been in town 4 days. Looks sort of funny, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I'd completely forgotten why we had to pretend. It's not exactly a good way to begin again, is it?
We love each other, Anne. That's all we need to begin.
You're just about the prettiest on the floor, eh?
Thank you, sir.
You're really sparkling tonight. Only sorry I wasn't the one to bring you.
Oh, I'm sorry I had to turn you down, Fred.
Yeah, I'm not losing too much. I'm getting my dance.
I've been looking for Elma and Frank. Have you seen them?
I saw them earlier. They're in this crowd somewhere. Guess the whole town's in here.
I want to look for them. Will you excuse me, Fred?
Sure thing. Can I have another dance later?
Later, maybe.
And?
Clay? Here I am.
I thought I'd lost you for good. This dance is mine, isn't it?
Oh. I don't think I've ever been this happy before, Clay.
How many people would you say were in here?
Practically the whole town.
You're right. I went out to some air and looked around. Tonight's the night, Anne.
What?
It's lucky for us. I feel it. We're leaving tonight.
Leaving tonight?
I got us a rig this afternoon. We can drive on to the next town and get married.
Couldn't you have told me? I'm not even packed. I haven't even told Fred I'd be leaving my job.
Anne. Do you love me?
I love you, Clay.
If we go back to the hotel, will you pack?
Now?
Right now. Come on.
Clay, what is it?
Nothing. It's just a lucky night. Will you leave it to me?
Why all the hurry? Clay, please, I just can't disappear without telling a soul.
You'll see. Here.
I thought we were going to the hotel.
After we're through here. Get out of the way.
Clay, what are you doing?
Getting into the express office. That's it. Inside.
No!
Inside! See how easy? Nobody on the street because they're all at the dance. Sheriff, deputies, everybody.
Clay, you can't.
It's for us, Anne.
That's the only reason.
We don't need it, Clay. Please think. There's still time. We've got to get out of here.
You stay right here by the door. If you see anyone coming near you, call me.
I won't do it.
You'll do it. Just a few minutes. You stay right there.
Clay. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you here. I'm not going to do this again.
Easy. Just a couple more minutes.
Goodbye, Clay.
Anne, anyone coming? Anne, don't open that door.
Hey, somebody's busted into the express office.
I see him. There he goes.
Hey, you!
Can we get him in?
Yeah, we got him. He's dead.
Dan, where were you? You promised me this dance.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. I just had to get some fresh air.
Fascination, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. In a moment, Mr. and Mrs. Lewis will tell you about next week's play.
CBS
Radio.
I like it best.
Radio.
I like those CBS radio shows.
If you're sitting at home,
if you're out in a car,
CBS Radio's where you are. CBS Radio.
Richard Chandley has written the answers to why a fascination existed.
Clayton Post and Junius Matthews were glad to see Kathy leave town, and Herb Butterfield was the sheriff who insisted upon it.
Irene Tedrow was my sister, and Jack Crucian, her husband, and I went to work for Barney Phillips at the hotel.
And to finish it out, Byron Kane was the stage driver who got you from one place to another.
Having gone through the mail of the last year and a half and carefully noting your preferences and dislikes, next week we're going to do a story which seems to us as timely and true as it was when we first presented it to you.
Until next week, thank you for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Music for tonight's story was composed and conducted by Fred Steiner. The Kathy and Elliot theme is by Ray Noble, and the program is transcribed and directed by Mr. Lewis. George Walsh speaking. Friday nights, enjoy a full hour of Arthur Godfrey on the CBS Radio Network.
The time is right for a little baby Snooks. Let's drop in on a domestic situation at the dinner table.
Table looks fine. Now, where are the cigars? Oh, here. I guess he'll fall for this layout, all right.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, hello, Snooks. Let's have a look at you.
Why did I have to put on my new dress, Daddy?
Because my boss is coming for dinner.
Why?
Well, we don't have guests very often, and it's good to make social contacts and fraternize with intellectual people. My boss is a very smart man, and I like to listen to his conversation. Do you understand?
Uh-huh. You're trying to get a raise.
Nothing of the kind. And I don't want you making any cracks when he gets here, either.
I won't, Daddy.
Above all, don't say anything about his hair.
Why?
Just don't, that's all.
What's the matter with his hair?
Nothing. I'm just warning you not to make any remarks about it.
All right.
And listen, Snooks. You're not to come into the dining room while we're having dinner. Not even if my boss asks you to.
Why?
Never mind why. All I want you to do is greet Mr. Gordon and then run upstairs and play.
All right.
And now we'd better have a little rehearsal. I'll be Mr. Gordon.
Who is he?
My boss. I'll be my boss.
Huh?
I said I'm Mr. Gordon.
No, you ain't. You're my daddy.
We're just pretending. I want to make sure you'll behave nicely when Mr. Gordon comes. Now, I'm Mr. Gordon, and I'm coming in. Oh, good evening, Snooks.
Hello, Daddy.
No, no. Say good evening to Mr. Gordon.
Where is he?
He's not here yet.
Now, why should I say good evening to him?
You're not saying it to him. You're saying it to me. Right now, I'm Mr. Gordon, even though I'm still your daddy. And while Mr. Gordon isn't even here yet, you can say good evening to him because you're really saying it to me. And don't ask me if I feel all right.
Why?
Now, don't you start to irritate me, Snooks. And another thing. In case Mr. Gordon asks you to come in to dinner, I want you to say no thanks. I've already eaten. Now, let's try it.
All right.
Now, here we go.
Where are we going?
Nowhere!
Ah.
Now, let's try it. Oh, good evening, Snooks.
No, thank you. I've already eaten.
Say good evening first.
Why?
Because you've got to greet him. Now, let's try it again. Good evening, Snooks.
Good evening, Mr. Gordon.
Fine. Oh, Snooks, will you come in and eat with us?
Uh-huh.
No, I told you to say you'd already eaten.
I'm still hungry.
Just the same, you've got to say I've already eaten.
Huh?
Say I've already eaten. Good evening, Snooks. Will you eat with us?
Daddy's already eaten, but I'm hungry.
No, no, no. Snooks, I don't want to lose my temper with you. When he asked you to come in and eat, just say... Oh, there he is now. Now, remember, Snooks.
All right.
Oh, well, come right in, Mr. Gordon.
Yeah. Nice place you were. There he is. Oh, is this baby Snooks?
Yes, sir, Mr. Gordon. Shake hands with Mr. Gordon, Snooks.
How?
What a cute child.
Dinner's all ready.
Okay. Oh, Snooks, will you have a bite with us?
Snooks.
I say, will you have a bite with us?
No, thanks. I've already bitten.
Well, run along upstairs and play, Snooks. This way, Mr. Gordon.
Daddy.
Yes?
Why'd he tell me not to say anything about his hair?
What's that?
He ain't got any.
Well, you think that's funny, young lady?
Uh-huh. He'll look like my Aunt Chloe.
Oh, pay no attention to Mr. Gordon. She's a great little clown. What are you yelling about?
I don't know.
Well, let her come in and sit with us while we eat, Higgins.
Oh, no, she has to do her homework. Don't you, Snooksy?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right, come on. Sit here, Mr. Gordon. And Snooks, you sit by me.
No, I don't want to.
Well, why not?
I want to sit near Mr. Gordon and watch him do some tricks.
Tricks? What tricks?
I wish I was dead.
Will you have some water, Mr. Gordon?
No, thank you.
Ah!
Well, what's the matter?
Make him swallow the water, Daddy.
Well, why do you want to see me swallow water?
Because Daddy says you drink like a fish.
Oh, she made that up. She made it up, so help me, Mr. Gordon. I never said anything of the kind. You go upstairs this minute, you little scamp.
If he takes me out, I'll spill the soup on Mr. Gordon.
Well, I must say, Higgins, this little daughter of yours makes eating here a pleasure.
You like it, Mr. Gordon?
No, he doesn't like it. Mr. Gordon wants you to leave the room so he can eat in peace. What are you doing?
My penny fell onto the table.
Be careful, Snooks. You're pulling the table.
Hey, look out!
Snooks, the whole thing's going to fall.
I think I'll go now.
Oh, there's the whole dinner.
I wasn't very hungry anyhow. I think I'll go too.
Oh, no, just a minute, Mr. Gordon. Please don't leave. We might be able to straighten this out.
Give him some pie, Daddy.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, yes. How about a piece of green apple pie, hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Here, look at it. Oh, you'll love it.
Well, all right. Have you a little piece of cheese to go with it?
A cheese? Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Gordon. There isn't a piece of cheese in the house.
Yes, there is, Daddy. I'll go get it.
Oh, fine. Phew. I'm terribly sorry about this.
That's all right. The child didn't mean it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Here's the cheese, Mr. Gordon.
Oh, thanks, Nuts. That's good, too.
Eat it all.
Oh, yes, I will.
You know, that's funny. I distinctly remember Mother saying we were out of cheese.
This is great. I guess you've got sharper eyes than your daddy, eh, Snooks?
Uh-huh. Where did you find that cheese, Snooks?
In the mouth trap.
You little...
Next up is Fred Allen with his guest Roland Young from October 11th, 1942. Let's give it a listen.
It's Texaco time with Fred Allen, Roland Young, Wee Bonnie Baker, Portland Hopper, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Arthur Godfrey saying you're welcome for Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater and to Texaco dealers' wholehearted help in keeping that car of yours going for the transportation you've got to have. Your Texaco dealer has the skill and the Texaco quality product. They're yours for more miles for your car. His Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication protects every vital chassis part against excessive wear. And especially nowadays, when every mile counts, uses high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief, or premium Texaco Sky Chief. In short, make a Texaco dealer your car warden and see him regularly. It's his job to help you care for your car for your country. Gentlemen, there is only one comedian in radio you can tune in during a blackout who isn't bright enough to violate the law. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Arthur, how do you like your job?
This announcing's a new racket to me, Fred. I never realized an announcer had so much to do.
Oh, yes. You know, on a program like this, Arthur, the announcer is as busy as a short-tailed cow in fly time. I should make it a short-arm traffic cop for the city, I guess. That's a long joke. You know, besides opening the program, the announcer has to read the commercials. He has to run down the aisle and tickle the audience, Arthur. He has to laugh at the jokes, sweep out the theater, and we're through. Do you think you're going to like it?
There's just one thing, Fred.
Yes, Arthur?
About my salary.
Well, that's all settled. I'll pay you the same as you got last week.
Wait a minute. Last week you said it was an audition and I worked for nothing.
Well, I know, but this week, don't forget, the president froze all salaries as of last week. So you are all set for the duration.
Gee, it's lucky I got a sideline. Peanuts, popcorn.
And while Brother Godfrey passes among us with his wares, let us turn in toto to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. In a sweeping effort to stamp out gambling in Manhattan, Mayor orders police to arrest bookmakers and tin horn horse players and to clean up all the city's gambling resorts. To check on the crusade's results, the March of Trivia questioned several victims of horse betting ban. First, Odds on Oscar, a prominent bookmaker, says,
on behalf of New York's 16,000 bookmakers, I want to thank the mayor for showing us the error of our way. We are through with bookmakers. We're going straight.
Well, what are you bookmakers doing now?
We're selling numbers.
Well, have you quit making book personally, Oscar?
Yeah. I experimented camouflaging me joint, but it was no go.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I tried making book in a pet shop.
Making book in a pet shop, huh?
Yeah, I had a parrot hanging outside. You whispered your bet to the parrot would tell it to me.
Oh, I see. Well, the police finally caught up with you, huh?
Yeah, I got away lucky. The parrot got 20 years.
That was the end of the pet shop.
Yeah, then I opened up a delicatessen on 47th Street.
You were making book in a delicatessen?
Uh-huh. In the window, I had a big smoked tongue.
Oh, a smoked tongue in the window and inside the store?
On the counter, I had 2 dill pickles and 17 telephones.
Well, What happened with the delicatessen?
I got raided last night. I was lucky to get away. I got tipped off.
Well, who tipped you off?
When the cops come to the door,
yeah?
The tongue in the window yelled, "Cheater!"
The man who built a better mousetrap knew how to cheese it, too. And thank you, Odd Don Oscar. A plainclothes officer who led a gambling raid, a successful gambling raid, was Commando Detective Shimmick Ball.
Why, Tuesday alone, I made 600 arrests. The axles on a patrol wagon was red hot.
What? What was your outstanding arrest, Detective Ball?
Well, in a vacant store on 8th Avenue, I seen 20 men kneeling down on a cycle. Looked like a crap game.
And it wasn't?
When I got inside, there was no dice.
What did you do?
I says, "Look, if this ain't no dice game, what are you 20 guys doing down on your knees?"
And?
They says, "We're saying goodbye to a midget he's been drafting."
What did you do?
I knelt down and shook hands with the midget. He rattled.
You mean?
The midget swallowed the dice.
He was nearer to them, perhaps. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, I had him x-rayed. The judge gave him 30 days.
Well, it won't hurt a midget to go up for a stretch, and thank you, Detective Shimmick Ball. A young lady who has some definite opinions on gambling is Miss Veronica Buxbaum. How do you feel about this new gaming crusade, Veronica?
Frankly, I would say the elimination of gambling should be done away with.
Are you unlucky?
Hitler should have mind luck.
Why are you so set against gambling?
Thanks to gambling, today Veronica Buxbaum is a spinster.
Tell me what happened.
Well, for 7 years, I am keeping company with a gambler.
A gambler, huh?
He's calling himself Lucky Feinschreiber.
Was he really lucky?
Lucky? At pinball, he is winning without tilting.
Why, that's uncanny.
He is asking me to marry. I'm saying yes. Always lucky is lucky.
Was the wedding date said?
Everything is hotsa-totsa.
Hotsa-totsa, huh?
Then Lucky is starting to gamble.
Gamble with whom?
Plays the jeweler. Lucky is matching for the ring. He is winning.
Yes?
Nabs the license clerk. Lucky is tossing for the $2, double or nothing. Again, he is winning.
Yeah?
S. Klein, Lucky is tossing for my trousseau.
Really?
This he is winning. With 2 pounds rice.
With the trousseau. You are all set for the nuptials.
Not only this, the wedding is ready also.
Fine.
I am quitting Bloomingdale. I'm giving Lucky $200. This should be my dowry.
And your wedding day arrived?
That morning, Lucky is getting a notice from his draft board. Yay.
Something happened?
He is gambling.
Well, how do you mean?
Lucky is betting the draft board. Mom, $200. 7-5, they're not catching him.
And?
Today at Bloomingdale's, I am back.
Yeah.
At the draft board is mom, $200. And at Fort Dix is Lucky Feinschreiber.
He's Private Feinschreiber, hey?
The next time I am seeing Private Feinschreiber, what I am telling him wouldn't be so private.
Well, looks like the private is in for some corporal punishment. And thank you, Miss Veronica Buxbaum. Well, I guess that takes care of
Harry, pray, old jackanapes. Falstaff's here with jibes and japes.
Openshaw, not again.
The Ogden Nash of Flash is at your service.
You have foaled some new odes, have you?
Have you heard, was it Malice Alice when you stomped upon my callus?
No, I haven't heard that.
It was strictly entre nous, so I showed her my tattoo.
No, I haven't heard that.
They wouldn't have taken Mother away in the scrap drive if she hadn't shown her mettle.
Now wait. Good night. Tonight, it so happens, we have been talking about the mayor's crusade on gambling.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a song.
Oh, fine.
I have brought the Mineola Mini Singers with me to render it.
Oh, these are the Mineola Mini Singers here?
Yes, the little man was formerly Charles of John, Charles, and Thomas. Oh,
and this other chap?
Oh, he is an entity by choice.
Well, it's all right with me. I won't try. Tell me, can we have them sing this horse song of yours?
I'll feel them out.
I wish you would.
Are we in caroling mood, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Openshaw.
Very well. Let us have our horse lament.
East side, west side, all around the town. You can't bet a horse to win or place. All the bookies are closed down. The tin horn sports and brass mouth have been told to take a walk. You can be pinked with a Charlie horse on the sidewalk of New York.
Thank you, boys. Thank you. And from the Mineola Minnesingers, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to our guest chanteuse this evening, wee Bonnie Baker. Well, how are you this evening, Miss Baker?
I'm fine, thank you, Mr. Allen.
I hear that you became engaged to Lieutenant Aaron Tucker today. Bonnie, may we be the first to congratulate you. You don't mind, do you?
Thank you very much.
Tell me, would you rather, on this festive evening, would you rather sing something for me, or would you like to have me sing something for you?
I think I would enjoy hearing you sing.
Well, you'd be the only one, Bonnie. I think I'll leave the chanting up to you. Now, what would you like to sing?
I get the necks of the chicken.
Oh, boy, you're lucky. You should see what I get from Lindy personally. Mr. Goodman, if you will.
I get the neck of the chicken. I get the rumble seat ride. I get the leaky umbrella. Everyone shoves me aside. When I jump in my shower each morning, sure I say I'm too late. All the hot water is gone. I get the neck of the chicken. I get the hand-me-down shawl. And when there's company weekend, I get the couch in the hall. That's why I can't get over this dream that's come true. If I get the neck of the chicken, how did I ever get you? I get the neck of a chicken. I get the burnt piece of toast. I get the seat in the movie, smacko in back of a post. When morning papers come to the door, sure I say I'm too late, and they're mine long about four. I get the guy with the glasses, wearing an awful toupee. Somebody else gets the victim a tour. Mine's always strictly for A. That's why I can't get over this fine howdy-do. If I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you?
Very nice, Mrs. Tucker, to be.
No, let me go. Don't do that.
Come along, brother, right up to the mic.
Wait a minute. What is this, Arthur? Who is this gentleman you're dragging up here by the scruff of the pantaloons there?
This character, Mr. Allen, is a rubber shrugger.
Well, what is a rubber shrugger?
A rubber shrugger?
Grapes, nuts, flesh. That's what I
A rubber shrugger is a guy that just shrugs when you tell him about wasting rubber.
Uh-huh. And who was wasting rubber? I was only driving my car.
At 60 miles an hour you were driving. That's why I borrowed you from that cop. Look, brother, do you realize that when you drive at 60, you wear out your tires twice as fast as you do at 35?
Twice as fast? No kidding.
Not only no kidding, you keep it up and you'll have no tires.
So what? I see by the papers I can get new tires now.
Yeah, but you may also have noticed that to get new tires, you'll have to drive under 35 and give your tires proper care.
Oh.
And 60 per is not proper care.
No.
You've got to remember that your car and my car and everybody's car is a part of the stream of transportation that takes America to work and to school and to market. Uh-huh. If you let your tires go bluey, you're just not going to be allowed to buy new ones and your car's going to be out of action. And if everybody does that, it's going to slow the whole country down.
I say, I never thought of that. I'll stay under 35 from now on.
Attaboy, attaboy. And listen, you know when your car passed me with those squeaks, it sounded like breakfast time in a bird shop.
No kidding.
Now, if you'll pardon the plug, you'll permit the plug. You should drive into your Texaco dealer for his Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication service and get those squeaks out. That Marfac service really protects your car. And while you're there, remember, nowadays, when every mile counts, it's smarter than ever to use your Texaco dealer's high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief, or premium Texaco Sky Chief.
We interrupt Mr. Goodman's rendition of Kalamazoo at this time. It was sung earlier tonight by Mr. Phil Harris, who sounds like Skinny Innes on key. Mr. Goodman didn't quite get to Kalamazoo. The song stopped two bars this side of Battle Creek.
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. Say, this is a fine time to show up, Portland. You know, we're only on for half an hour this year. Now, if you come any later than this, you know, you're going to start showing up in the middle of Phil Baker's Take It or Leave It program. How come you're so tardy?
Well, I was overtaking Mama her lunch.
Lunch? Well, it's almost 10 o'clock.
I know. Mama's on the night shift.
The night shift where?
Mama's a welder in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. She's wearing goggles and slacks.
Well, your mother had better not bend over in those slacks. Somebody will hit her with a bottle and launch your mother for an invasion. how is your mother doing on the job over there?
The first day, Mama welded her foreman to the superintendent.
Well, that's good. They'll get paid double time from now on.
The shipyards are building boats faster every day.
Oh, I know that. You know, Henry Kaiser's building boats so fast that workers in the yard think they have astigmatism, and it's only portholes going by.
They're building all kinds of new boats, too.
Well, there isn't anything new in the way of boats, Portland. You know, all the boats you see today are mentioned in that book, Around the World in 80 Days. You know who wrote Around the World in 80 Days?
Wendell Wilkie?
Wendell will do better than that if he doesn't stop to talk. You know, The way Wendell is, somebody's at the door. Come in. Yes?
Is this the Texaco canteen?
Why, it's Roland Young.
I hope I'm not too late, old boy.
Too late for what, Mr. Young?
Show isn't over, is it?
Looking at you, I would say yes, Mr. You have something in mind?
Yes, the sponsor sent me over. It's about your first show last week.
Oh, did you hear our opening program last Sunday?
Yes. Bit of the old P.U. What?
You're not supposed to smell radio programs, Mr. Young. You're supposed to listen to them.
But a radio program coming out of a loudspeaker has to pass the nose to get to the ears.
So?
Your program last Sunday didn't quite make it.
You say our sponsor sent you over?
Yes, I'm here to whip things into shape, start the ball rolling, give the proceedings a bit of the old rooty toot.
Oh, you have some changes for the show in mind, have you?
Mm-hmm. First, we'll have to get rid of this orchestra.
Oh, now, wait. You can't break up Mr. Goodman's band. Why, this is the only chance Mr. Goodman has to see his whole family together.
His music is icky. Strictly long hair. What this show needs is a jive combo. A band with some real swingaroo.
Swingaroo? You know of such a band?
Just got the man. Rodney Smith Bennington and his gut bucket gondolier.
Rodney Smith Bennington and his gut bucket gondolier, you say?
They're playing in a little tea shop on 57th Street.
Well, look, Mr. Young, if they're happy in the tea shop...
No, Rodney wants to get away. People are always throwing wet tea bags into the French horn.
Well, he won't like it here with a French horn. Our audience chews tobacco, Mr. People are, if the band is the only change you have in mind, Mr. Young.
No, I have a few pointers for you too, old boy.
Oh, about my comedy?
Yes, after all, let's face it, old man, you are the corny type, you know.
I am corny, you say?
Definitely, but stiff upper lip, old boy. With a little training, you can be a second Red Skelton.
Red Skelton? Well, what has Red Skelton got that I couldn't have lifted?
He dutied, old boy. You didn't.
Why, I have been a comedian for 30 years.
That's just it. Just the point is, about time you were getting some new jokes.
New jokes in radio?
I'll rip off a screamer to give you an idea, right?
Oh, you have jokes? Well, what is this screamer you have?
You say to me, I speak six dead languages.
All right. I speak six dead languages.
It's too bad I'm not a corpse, old boy. I'd have a long talk with you.
Very, very, very clever.
That's what this program needs. More of that sort of thing.
Well, tell me, Mr. Young, how did you acquire your flair for the trite?
Oh, I come from a theatrical family.
Oh, yes. You know, I've seen your family crest. It's a ham rampant on a field of catcalls. I've seen it many times.
My grandfather was on the stage years ago.
Oh, your grandfather was an actor?
Yes, he died and left in the state of one bamboo cane, 40 Pullman towels, a book of bad press notices, and a piece of nose putty.
A bit of nose putty, huh? And that's why you... I'm looking ahead to next week's show, Mr. Young. That's why you went into the theater?
Yes, I got my first job in London.
Acting?
Not exactly. I was hired to beat the woodpeckers off the Herbert Beerbohm tree.
Oh, you beat the woodpeckers? You're really a self-made man.
Yes, but if I had to do it over again, I think I'd call in somebody.
I see your point. Well, tell me, Mr. Young, now that you've fixed up my program, are you going back to Hollywood?
No, I'm here in New York to do a play.
Oh, a drama?
No, it's a little romantic trifle. You know, Act One, Esmeralda, I love you. Act Two, Malcolm, you can't do this to me. Act Three, he does. Quick curtain.
Rather interesting. It's strange that you're coming here, Mr. Young. You know, I have been thinking of going to Hollywood. Charlie Lawton was here last week and told us that most of the glamour boys are in the army and leading men are scarce.
That's true, Fred. At your age, you should get plenty of work out there.
Why, I hear that they're casting W.C. Fields in the next Andy Hardy picture. It's called Love Finds Andy Hardy, but it's too late. You know W.C. Fields, of course.
Yes, I saw Bill just before I left Hollywood.
Well, how is the old boy?
Bill's doctor made him give up drinking brandy. It was giving him the shakes.
Well, how does Bill look, better?
Definitely worse.
He looks worse after giving up the brandy?
Yes, the shakes were the only exercise Bill ever got.
Well, I haven't seen Bill in a picture lately. What is he doing these days?
Bill's too busy to make pictures. He's in great demand at all the ship launchings.
Oh, you mean he christens the ships?
When they run out of champagne...
Yes.
As the ship flies down into the water...
Yes.
Bill breathes on the hull.
The last time I saw Bill out in Hollywood, he breathed on me and removed four spots from my vest.
I see he didn't get them all.
But tell me, are you enjoying your stay here in New York?
I've been having quite a bit of trouble, Fred. I can't get anything to eat here.
You can't eat? Why, all the restaurants have those dollar dinners.
That's my trouble. All those dollar dinners start with a shrimp cocktail. And if there's anything I can't stand, it is a shrimp cocktail.
Well, you don't have to eat the shrimp cocktail,
Roman. Oh, don't I? Come with me and I'll show you what happens.
All right, there's a little place around the corner here called Pierre's. Let's go.
Welcome to Pierre's. How many, please?
A table for two.
Ah, here we are.
Thank you.
And here are your menus, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll find Pierre's dollar dinner very nice, gentlemen.
That's how it always starts, Fred.
Well, now what happens, Roland?
Well, the waitress generally shows up now.
Did you gents give your orders?
No, we're just looking over the menu, miss.
The dollar dinner is the speciality of Pierre's.
We'd rather order a la carte.
You can't order a la carte. It confuses the chef. What's yours, mister?
Well, I'm not eating. I just came in with my friend here.
Then give me back the napkin. What's yours, mister?
I'll have the dollar dinner.
It's delicious. Which appetizer will you have, herring or shrimp cocktail?
I don't like shrimp cocktail. I'll take the herring.
We're all out of herring. All we've got is shrimp cocktail.
All right, I'll take the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
Without the shrimp cocktail, it ain't the dollar dinner.
Now, look, miss, please, bring it here. Just bring it in. I'll eat the shrimp cocktail.
That makes it a la carte. We don't serve a la carte. It confuses the chef.
Now, look. My friend here doesn't like shrimp cocktail.
No, shrimps give me vertigo.
Yes, I will eat the shrimp cocktail on his dollar dinner. Now, what's the difference?
There's a big difference? If you eat the shrimp cocktail, it ain't his dollar dinner no more.
Well, all I want...
If you want a shrimp cocktail, you gotta get your own dollar dinner.
Well, I don't want to eat.
So what are you butting in for?
This is what happens every time, Fred.
Well, I'll straighten this thing out, Roland. Miss, call the head waiter, please.
Okay. Maitre D.
Yes, Maisie?
These gentlemen.
Oh, yes, sir. What seems to be the trouble?
I'm ordering the dollar dinner.
Ah, you'll start with the shrimp cocktail, of course.
I don't want the shrimp cocktail.
All my friend here wants is the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
Oh, without the shrimp cocktail. Well, that'll be the 65-cent merchant special.
Yes, well, that sounds bully. Bring me the merchant special.
Very good, sir. We're having a surprise entree on the merchant special today. It comes with crevettes en glace.
What is that crevette en glace?
Shrimp cocktail.
But I can't eat the shrimp cocktail.
What do you want with a 65-cent dinner, goldfish?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you tuxedo jerk. This man here is hungry. You have got more food on your dickie than he has had to eat in the last 3 days.
Wait a minute. Don't yell at me. I don't own the place. I only work here. I ain't got no authority. You'll have to see the chef.
Well, get the chef in here.
Yes, sir. Hey, chef!
Hey, que voulez-vous? Toujours les arguments. I am myself the chef. What is the difficulty, you see?
No difficulty, old boy. I merely ordered the dollar dinner.
Oui.
Can he get the dollar dinner?
Oui.
Without the shrimp cocktail.
Without shrimp cocktail, no. It is impossible.
But why does he have to have the shrimp cocktail?
Look, I myself, the chef, am personally to prepare the shrimp cocktail. Who is not eating the shrimp cocktail is making insult to me.
But I can't eat shrimp.
They give him vertigo.
Who are you? I wouldn't cook for you. No, monsieur, not monsieur.
I should think I was Laval the way he went out
come
of here.
Come on, Fred, let's go.
Now, wait a minute, Roland. I'll get the owner of this joint. Waitress, miss.
Yes, sir.
Get the Frenchman who owns this place out here.
Hey, Pierre!
Always a mishmash. Who is calling Pierre? What is cooking?
Nothing's cooking. That's the trouble.
Yes, my friend here wants something to eat.
So he'll eat. Who's stopping him? Pierre is taking the order.
My friend wants the dollar dinner.
So stop yelling. He'll get the dollar dinner. First is coming out shrimp cocktail.
But he wants the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
Yes, I couldn't do it. With the dollar dinner has got the coming shrimp cocktail.
But I can't eat the shrimp cocktail.
Listen. Listen, buddy, on the dollar dinner, my own brother has got to eat shrimp cocktail.
Pierre.
So what?
This man is faint.
He got hungry. I didn't send for him.
I'm starving.
You've got to give him something to eat.
If he wouldn't eat shrimp cocktail, he's breaking up our dinner. Then Pierre is closing up tonight. He will have one shrimp cocktail left over. My books wouldn't bear it. I should go through life always with one shrimp cocktail left over.
You must have something in the kitchen you can give him.
Yes, I'll take anything, even raw meat.
Okay, raw meat I could give you.
At last, Roland, now you're all set.
Good, give me an order of raw meat.
Coming up. One raw meat!
Raw meat!
Raw meat! Raw meat! Shrimp cocktail!
Thank you. Next Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, our singing guest will be Vinay Venuta from the Broadway hit By Jupiter, and our featured guest will be Mr. Orson Welles. And now, Arthur, have you anything to add?
Just a scrap, Fred. The scrap piles in every city are mounting higher and higher, but more and more is needed. You see, practically everything we need to win this war is made one half from scrap metal. Tanks, planes, aircraft carriers, everything. Throw your scrap into the fight.
Thank you, Arthur. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to drive under 35 to save rubber and to drive into your Texaco dealer regularly to have your tires checked. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening. The RTC Weekly Download is produced by Chris Stone and Jim Dolan.